Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Annika Smith, and on today's episode, we're featuring the second part of Casey Luskin's interview with the radio program Sound Reason, where he answers questions.
I want to give the number. We'll take a call or two. The number is 888-589-8840. And a question for Casey Luskin of the Discovery Institute. And hey, if you're on the side of evolution, let's hear your question as well. Casey, give us a couple of URLs, a couple of websites. You mentioned that on the Discovery website, you've got some examples of peer-reviewed literature. But give us a homework assignment, Casey. Tell us where to go and read more.
Sure. Well, our news blog is evolutionnews.org. That's Discovery's sort of rolling blog where we have a lot of reporting on the most recent developments in this debate. If you want just a one-stop shop for all of your needs on the ID issue, go to intelligentdesign.org. It has a news feed from a bunch of major ID blogs, as well as the ID the Future podcast, which is Discovery Institute's podcast. If you want to go to the podcast page directly, you can go to idthefuture.com, and that's idthefuture.com, and then again, Discovery's website is discovery.org.
Hey, let's go to a call. Let's go to John in Indiana. John, thanks for holding. Welcome to Sound Reason with our guest, Casey Luskin.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Well, one thing I think is very interesting about your conversation is a couple of points, and one being that when you talk about people having to look at ways to defend and continue to come up with theories to defend an article or a reasoning that is crumbling, that's precisely what you guys are doing. I've been a proponent of evolution for a long time. I understand there are holes in what evolution explains, but I also have faith that humans can understand the world in scientific terms, not be in conflict with faith. And when I hear this, I've watched the discussion of intelligent design continue to evolve as the arguments that used to be part of the process have faded away, and new ones have come into place to try to preserve this. I think the problem is that you have your minds made up already, so you're not doing peer-reviewed journals, you're not doing scientific reasoning, there is no science to intelligent design. You try to support a position that you already maintain. So,
Casey, what do you say?
Well, what I would say is the Journal of Molecular Biology not a peer-reviewed journal? Is the International Journal of Design and Nature and Ecodynamics not a peer-reviewed journal? Is the Proceedings of the Biological Society of Washington not a peer-reviewed journal? Is Physics of Life Reviews not a peer-reviewed journal? Is Protein Science not a peer-reviewed journal? These are all journals that have published articles as Annual Review of Genetics, not a peer-reviewed journal. These are all articles that have published research papers that expressly support intelligent design by proponents of intelligent design. So the claim that, you know, we're shifting our arguments and there's no research going on here, that's refuted by the data. If you want to talk about people who are unwilling to modify their arguments, modify your argument that ID proponents are not doing research. If you want to learn about ID research, go to the website biologicinstitute.org. It's a pro-ID research lab that does both laboratory bench research looking at protein specificity, and it also does theoretical research looking at computer simulations of evolution, the sort of stuff that Richard Lenski at the University of Michigan does, trying to see how much information Darwinian processes can produce via computer simulations of evolution. Or go to the website evoinfo.org, which is William Dembski and Robert Marks at Baylor University's Evolutionary Informatics Lab that's published 4 peer-reviewed articles in the last year in an IEEE journal looking at the ability of Darwinian evolution to produce new biological information. This is all peer-reviewed ID research, and maybe some folks just aren't keeping up with the debate, but as far as I can see, the arguments are getting stronger over time. The argument that we're talking about today, Alex, is the argument of irreducible complexity. And that is one of the foundational original ID arguments, and it's still a very solid argument. It has not been refuted, and I know of over a dozen peer-reviewed papers that have supported irreducible complexity. One interesting comment that that John made is that somehow intelligent design is an argument from people who've given up on trying to understand the world. And I would argue that it's actually the exact opposite situation. Intelligent design is an explanation that helps us to understand the world. Intelligent design is based upon our understanding that there is only one known cause of the information and machines and language that encodes all of life in the DNA, and that is intelligence. So it's actually providing us with a proper scientific understanding of the very foundation of life, that machines and language and encoded information do not come about without intelligence. And I think if you want to understand those things, you're going to need to invoke intelligent design. It's a positive argument. It's not based upon simply trying to defend some faith-based position or refute evolution. It's based upon our positive understanding of where information comes from. So I guess you just have
Casey,
to disagree.
We've got a break coming up. Stay tuned, callers. I know we've got callers waiting. The number is 888-589-8840. After this break, we're going to continue with Casey Luskin from the Discovery Institute.
Timeless truths, timely teaching, sound reason on American Family Radio. Don't apologize. Do apologetics. This is Sound Reason with Alex McFarland.
Okay, we're back. Hey, before we take the next call, Casey, did you want to finish a thought on that, or had you dealt with the peer review question as much as you wanted?
I mean, I could keep going through journals that have discussed intelligent design in a favorable fashion, but I'm pretty sure the point has been made, so I don't really think I need to do it anymore.
Excellent. Let's go to Dan in Ohio. Dan, welcome to Sound Reason. Your question for Casey Luskin.
Yeah. I've been listening to you for some time, and periodically the subject of evolution comes up. And we're looking a lot at the design, the wonderful designs that we find in nature. But, like, I bring home a new lawnmower, and it sits there. It's got gas, oil, it's mechanically ideal to run. But until somebody pulls the rope and starts it, it doesn't do anything. So my question is life innate or imparted to nature?
Good question. Casey, what do you say?
Well, I mean, I think that one of the basic principles of biology is that life comes from life. And I think that, you know, where did the first life come from? I think that that question has not been answered by at least a naturalistic perspective. There is no naturalistic explanation for the origin of the first life. Many leading proponents of chemical evolution have openly admitted that. And so where did the very first life come from? Right now, if you're a naturalist, there is no answer. They've got some very vague theories that have a lot of problems, but they certainly do not have a complete scientific answer. One of the things I mentioned in response to the previous caller was what we've discovered in the last 50 years in biology is that all life forms are based upon information, and cells are full of molecular machines, and in order to produce those machines, that information in our DNA has to be converted through a computer-like process of commands and codes, basically an information processing system in the cell, to produce these protein machines. So if you want to understand where life comes from, I think the question you want to ask is, what in our experience produces information, the ability to process information, and machines, which those are basically the entities that undergird all of life. And there's only one known cause that scientists are aware of that produces those entities, and that is intelligence. And so I think it's very compelling argument, positive argument, that if you want to explain how the information in life arose, you're going to need to appeal to an intelligent cause.
Let's go to Eric in Louisiana. Eric, thanks for holding. Welcome to Sound Reason.
Hello, sir. How are you? It seems like when you were describing earlier, sir, that you say evolutionists always just try and change their theories and everything. That's not true. That's just the practice of the scientific method. And also, wouldn't you say that, you know, Christians are doing the same thing by trying to change and, you know, come up with, like, new, basically fleeting ideas like intelligent design, which, you know, just creationism and a cheap lab coat? Yeah, I mean, you guys don't prove anything, and it's not actually peer-reviewed by showing all these quote-unquote peer-reviewed journals you have, which I looked them up already. They're all pretty much just a bunch of bobbleheads, you know, talking to each other. It's not like the Oxford Scientific Journal. Keep denying this. I mean, just why won't you guys just, you know, at least try and have some bit of, you know, just positive thinking that, hey, maybe these guys might be onto something.
Bubbleheads and lab coats. Casey Luskin, what do you say?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a good teachable moment for your listeners. We're kind of getting a feel for the level of argument in response to intelligent design. We're getting some name-calling there that the people who have published articles in journals like Journal of Molecular Biology or annual review of genetics that they're just bobbleheads, and that's sort of the response to my, you know, our argument here. I personally studied evolution extensively at both the undergraduate and graduate level at one of the leading state universities in the country, First Biology, University of California, San Diego. I did that because I wanted to learn about evolution, and I wanted to learn the best case for evolution. So I think that ID proponents are trying to get themselves informed on this topic. I found an interesting contradiction in Eric's comments. He said, on the one hand, it's good that evolutionists are trying to change their theories, but then he says that if, I guess, ID proponents are trying to change their theories, that's bad. So it kind of seems like there's a double standard at work there. When evolutionists change their theories, that's just what he calls the practice of the scientific method, and I would agree with him. It actually wasn't me who said that evolutionists are always trying to change their theories. That was actually the caller, John, who used that attack against intelligent design. He might have misheard what was going on there. I understand that sometimes evolutionists will try to modify their theories, and if they can come up with better ones, more power to them. I have no problem with that. That is the scientific method. But don't criticize proponents of intelligent design if they're trying to improve their arguments. And the bottom line, though, is that intelligent design is very different from creationism. It's not creationism in a lab coat. Again, we're sort of getting a feel for the quality of the arguments against ID. Creationism is basically a view that starts with the Bible, and then it ends with religious views, trying to appeal to a supernatural or divine creator. Intelligent design takes a very different approach. There are ID proponents who are not Christians, who may be Jews. They may not even be from a Judeo-Christian background. They may be agnostics or atheists. There was an atheist at the University of Colorado last year named Bradley Monson who came out with a book, and the subtitle was An Atheist Defends Intelligent Design. So you can study and support intelligent design if you are not a theist or even not religious. And there's examples of folks like that out there. And I think it's very difficult to see how ID is just relabeled creationism when very clearly it's not centered around belief in the Bible, and it doesn't even appeal to a supernatural or divine creator. You might believe that the designer is a divine supernatural being. I personally do. I'm a Christian, and I'm very open about the fact that I believe the designer is God. But that's not a conclusion of intelligent design. That's my own personal religious belief, and within the ID movement, there is, in fact, diversity of views on the question of the identity of the designer, because ID does not claim to be able to scientifically infer a divine creator. So ID is very different from creationism in those very important aspects, and it limits its claims to what we can learn from the scientific method. And I think that people who claim that ID is just creationism in a cheap tuxedo, or whatever the phrase is, they're trying to dismiss the argument for ID without actually addressing it. And I think that your last caller was actually a very good example of that.
For those just tuning in, you can listen to the whole show. This is a show worth re-listening to on the podcast. The website of the show is soundreason.com, S-O-U-N-D-R-E-Z-N, soundreason.com. Casey, we've only got a couple of minutes. I want to give you a chance to give some final thoughts. But let me say this, and Casey, I'm sure I speak for tens of thousands of listeners, how I appreciate your research and the articulate way with which you can make your points and support your data. So thanks for what Discovery does. Thanks for what you are doing, because I think you're giving some very insightful contributions to the dialogue. But some final thoughts, Casey.
Sure. I think I just want to try to encourage your listeners that, you know, the arguments for intelligent design are holding up. There is pro-ID research papers being published in mainstream scientific journals on an increasingly common basis. And when you get these kind of responses from people who want to just call you names and dismiss your arguments and deny the existence of these articles, I think the important thing is to respond in a loving way and say, look, you know, like, you might want to call me names, but I'm going to respond to you in a nice way back. I'm not going to call you names. I'm going to try to respond to you with charity and hope that maybe you're open-minded enough to understand that some of your arguments aren't very good ones, and try to encourage you to actually keep a more open mind on this topic and investigate intelligent design and not believe some of those urban legends that you might have heard and find out if they're really true. Just respond to the angry name-calling critics with a little bit of charity, and that can go a long way.
Very good, very good. And give us again the URL that has the examples of the peer-reviewed research.
If you go to the website discovery.org/CSC, that's the homepage for the Center for Science and Culture. On the left-hand side, you'll see a link of peer-reviewed articles that support intelligent design. We've got a whole list of them there, and we're always adding more as they come out.
Thank you very much, Casey Luskin. And listeners, thank you for being a part of the show today.
That was Casey Luskin on the radio program Sound Reason with Alex McFarland. For ID the Future, this is Annika Smith. Thanks for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.